Emma Weatherly thought she was just clumsy. Then, in her late 20s, she was given a life-changing diagnosis, a complex type of muscular dystrophy known as FSHD. The degenerative disease wastes away muscle, affecting the ability to walk, talk, smile, blink, or even eat. But Emma's diagnosis has had a ripple effect. She's now charting a new course for diagnostics, awareness, and hopefully one day a successful treatment. Emma Weatherly is the CEO of the FSHD Global Research Foundation and is my guest today on Changing Australia. Emma, welcome to you and good morning.
Good morning, Sally. Thank you for having me.
You were adopted as a baby. Did you have any knowledge or idea about your genetic history when you were growing up?
No, I didn't. I was adopted as a six-week-old baby, and there was no medical information given to me, with my papers when I was first adopted. And as much as my parents tried to get answers over my childhood for symptoms that I was experiencing, frequent falls, a lot of pain, specialist after specialist told them that there was nothing wrong with me, that I was just playing on their sympathies and just to toughen me up and keep me going. And it wasn't until I was genetically tested at, I think around age 28, that we found out I had a genetic disease called facioscapulohumeral dystrophy, or FSHD. And by then I knew my biological family, and we then found that my biological mother, my half-brother and my half-sister were also all positive for the disease, but none of them knew that they had it. Either they'd all been given different reasons for our very common symptoms that are hallmark signs for FSHD but had gone unnoticed.
What were some of the signs that you noticed as a kid and then into early adulthood as well, Emma?
Well, when I look back on photos of myself, I can see that I had this classic lopsided smile. And I remember spending hours in front of the mirror when I was a little girl trying to even it up, because I was very self-conscious that I had this one side of my mouth that just did not turn up into a nice smile. And so I spent a long time trying to make the other side not move as obviously as well, which that's something I can remember back to my early years. But other things like I fell frequently. I have an ankle that just always rolled over, and I was told that I had like connective tissue issues, but that I would grow out of them. And I also had shoulder instability. So right back into my early teenage years, my shoulder would dislocate very easily. And I even had friends get very good at helping me pop it back into place over the years. And my husband takes on that job these days. Mm. But, I can remember that right back into my teenage years. And, but for some reason, doctors just are not very aware of this disease. I think it's probably the forgotten muscular dystrophy a lot of the time.
What was it like for you when you finally got this diagnosis? Because it sounds throughout childhood you were kind of jollied along by some of these doctors that there's nothing wrong and you need to just get on with it.
Oh, absolutely right. And then as you become an adult woman, not that I want to put all medical professionals in one basket, but we're often told it's things like, oh, it's a hormonal issue, or you just need to lose weight. And at the time of my diagnosis, I was told by the second neurologist that I saw that it was just that I was overweight, and if I lost weight, that would solve all of my problems. And I did lose weight. I lost about 40 kilos. I did have a weight problem as well, but I lost all of that weight, and I actually got weaker, not stronger, because when you lose fat, you also lose muscle, and I didn't have spare muscle to lose. So getting the diagnosis was just devastating. Mind you, at the same time, they were also testing for things like motor neurones disease and MS. And I didn't know at the time, but a diagnosis of FSHD is probably, you know, is definitely a lot kinder than a diagnosis of MND. But, you know, it's a genetic disease. I was married. I had two daughters already, and I was told that there was a 50% likelihood that each of my daughters would have FSHD. And, you know, the same for my half-siblings' children. And so that, I think, is the most devastating thing as a parent. You can cope with your own diagnosis, but the worry that you carry for your children and that you've unwittingly and completely unknowingly passed on something to them, especially when you do look back over childhood and see all of these symptoms, and you think, well, I should have, you know, what was I thinking having children and not going and getting these things checked? So I had a lot of guilt and a lot of worry for my daughters. They're 19 and 16 now, and neither of them have FSHD, which is such a blessing. But this is what I see in families all of the time, is that it's often not until one person in the family is diagnosed and it just explodes through a whole family group. So, yeah, it was really rough. And, you know, you start to think about what your life looks like. I never imagine that I'd be facing this life of constant adaption and grief, because you grieve at every stage when you lose function. So it's tough. Mm.
Tell me about the FSHD Global Research Foundation. What does it do, and what was the thinking behind that for you?
Look, FSHD Global was one of the first entities that I reached out to when I was diagnosed. And it was founded by this incredible man, Bill Moss AO, who is an ex-Macquarie banker, probably the most clever human that I've met in my entire life. He has FSHD himself, and he was frustrated that there was no effort in medical research in Australia into this disease. And so he started a foundation to fund that research. And that was my lifeline. When I was diagnosed, I reached out to the foundation. I started attending their science updates. They would hold, you know, medical research updates each year. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm an accountant. So I often didn't know what they were talking about at those updates. But what I did understand was that progress was happening over the years. And I decided I didn't want to sit on the sideline and wait for this disease to win. So I started to get involved in whatever way I could. I attended the updates. I tried to stay across what was happening. I ran fundraisers. I connected with the community. I've made some of my most amazing lifelong friends through this FSHD community. We're quite an incredible bunch, I must say, here in Australia and globally. But as my accounting career progressed and, you know, I quite enjoyed my job, but it didn't fulfill me in the way that I wanted fulfillment out of my life. I always wanted to do something that made a difference in the world. And as the research was progressing, I was becoming more and more active in being a patient advocate. I joined as a volunteer ambassador in 2015. And I reached a point in my accounting career where I had a pretty shocking fall in the workplace. They didn't have a wheelchair accessible bathroom where I was working, and they were not willing to install one. And I had a really bad fall. I fell and broke my hip, dislocated my hip and dislocated my shoulder. Mm. And I was thinking, well, that's it. This disease is won. I will just retire and live an easy life. Because when I was diagnosed, my neurologist told me, you won't work a full career. You know, focus on being comfortable and doing, you know, doing things that make you happy. And so I reached out to Bill and I said, look, I'm going to take a medical redundancy. I can't keep working. I've had this awful fall. And I will volunteer for this foundation and I will, you know, help you do whatever you need to do. And incredible Bill said, no, you won't. You're too young to retire. You're only in your 40s. What are you going to do if you're sitting at home doing nothing? Why don't you come and work for me and run this foundation? And I decided that if not me, then who? You know, why not? Why not take my business, accounting, strategic skills and run a medical research foundation? I decided if I could learn accounting, I could learn a little bit about science and maybe help chart a course. And the research was really progressing, but the risk that we had, that we faced as a global FSHD community, was that if we weren't ready to run clinical trials, if we didn't have good diagnostics, and if we didn't have organised patient registries, this research wouldn't result in a therapy that actually benefited patients, because you can't run trials. And I said to Bill, that's what I can do. I can come in and turn us from a research funding organisation to a patient advocacy body. And I think that's what we need to do. And we're a very small organisation. We receive no government funding. We rely purely on philanthropic and corporate partnerships. But we have funded over $33 million in research, and we have truly turned this country around. We are now a lead country for clinical trials, and we know that this is going to be a treatable disease. So what more could you want to do with your life, honestly?
Emma, it's a fantastic and such important work that you're doing. Thank you very much for telling your story, sharing your story this morning.
Thank you.
Emma Weatherly is the CEO of the FSHD Global Research Foundation and is also on the Scientific Advisory Committee of Muscular Dystrophy Australia.